All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Pretty depressing, isn't it? First part of the lesson, I want you to be pretty depressed. I want you to think back upon the time when you were not a Christian and when you were lost in sin and how that felt and what you thought about that. It was not a nice thing. It wasn't a good thing. It was a depressing thing. Turn your Bibles this morning with me, if you would please, to Genesis chapter 3. And I want to remind us all of the lost condition that came into the world as Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Here, Satan tempted Eve in the garden. He did so by lying. He twisted the truth. 2 Peter 3:16, as false teachers do today. They twisted the truth to their own destruction. There was some truth in what he said. But he twisted it around to make it sound like God was trying to deceive her. And he used that to deceive her. In verse 6, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Several lessons here. One thing is we must be careful as to what we believe. She was told this lie, was deceived here by Satan, and she chose to believe the devil rather than to believe God. And we all face that decision every day. Who are we going to believe? Let us always choose to believe God and not to believe the devil. Verse 7, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." Their eyes were open. They knew the difference between right and wrong, and that knowledge remains with us today in the world, to know the difference between right and wrong. And therefore, Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that no one has an excuse. There's not going to be a time when we come before the Lord in judgment, and anyone can offer any excuse. There is no excuse, because as God has created this world and this universe and created mankind, we all can clearly see that God does exist, our Creator, and that we have a responsibility to seek after Him and find Him and worship Him. And so their eyes were open. Verse 8, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." I want us to see here that sin separated man from God. That man himself knew that he was living in sin, and man himself hid from God. And that's what sin does for us. It separates us from God. Verses 13 through 19, Eve was punished, and Adam was punished, and the serpent was punished. But go down to verses 22 through 24. "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. From that day forward, man no longer had access to the tree of life here upon the face of the earth." We read in the book of Revelation that it's in heaven now. And unless we obey the Lord to be in heaven one day, we will not have access to that tree of life. And we will not live forever, but suffer eternal death forever. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 5. You could be sitting there this morning and saying, well, you know, I've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. This really has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with you. I hope no one sits there and says, well, I already know this. I don't really need to pay attention this morning. You certainly need to pay attention. Because all of us need to be reminded of the situation in which we lived prior to becoming a Christian. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to realize the sad state in which you live. In Romans chapter 5 and beginning in verse 6, for while we were still helpless, I want us all to be reminded of the fact that without Christ we are helpless. We are helpless in the world. And we need someone to help us. We need someone to save us. We need someone, as Paul speaks of in Colossians chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 13, to be rescued from darkness. We were helpless. Verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We were talking about original sin this morning in our Bible class. I want you to notice how it is that death spreads to all men is that all men sin. Not that they're born that way. It's that they sin. And therefore, because of their sin, they are separated from God. Without Christ, we are helpless. And we are dead in sin because of our sins. As we read already this morning in our scripture reading, that all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin is death. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the apostle says, and inasmuch as it is appointed for all men to die once, and after this comes judgment. I want us all to realize the helpless and hopeless and miserable state we once lived in when we were in sin. And I want us to realize how miserable and hopeless and how helpless we would be if we turned back again to live in the world and to live in sin. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 8. And here is a story of two people who came to Jesus realizing the helplessness and the hopelessness of their lives. And I want us to learn from this. And I want us to put ourselves in the position of being helpless and hopeless and being in sin and realizing how desperately we need a Savior. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus had been preaching to the people doing many miracles. And verse 40, Luke 8, 40, and as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet. I want you to pretend like you were that person. You fall at the feet of Jesus. This man had a daughter, and this daughter was dying, and he was desperate. And I want us all to reflect back to the desperate state we were in without Christ and lost in sin. Knowing that if our life passed from this earth, that we would be in hell forever. Do you remember that point in your life? And here is this man, he was desperate and he knew that his daughter was going to die, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus Christ. Perhaps one could say when we fall short of the glory of God, when we sin, we are in this desperate state once again. We were studying this morning about David, who knew how desperate it was to have God's saving grace. And he would fall down at the feet of the Lord in prayer as he repented of those things and confessed them freely and begged to be forgiven. What is our attitude when we sin? Casual? Nonchalant? Oh, I prayed about that. One little quick little prayer and that's it? Or do we take it as serious as David, a man after God's own heart? Or do we just sort of pass it off? Here was Jairus, and he fell at the Lord's feet. Verse 42, for he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, or a flow of blood, your Bible may say, and could not be healed by anyone. Could you imagine suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years? Can you imagine the state of your life? You would be lethargic. You would be without any energy. You would be suffering from trying to stop this. You would be dealing with all the blood. And for 12 years, she dealt with this. And came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, who is the one who touched me? And while they were all denying it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you. But Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I was aware that the power had gone out of me. When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down. This is someone who is desperate. And we see the attitude of someone who is desperate. And how do we feel when we sin? And when we know that we're lost? And we know that we need to be forgiven? How do we feel about it? What is our reaction to it? Excuse it. Minimalize it. Pray a little short prayer. Not really confessing it. And expect for everything to be okay. That's not what we saw about David this morning in Bible class. And that's not what we see from these people who are desperate. We talked in our Wednesday night class, hunger and thirst for righteousness. These people were hungering and thirsting. A man for his daughter, a woman for her hemorrhage. Are we hungering and thirsting? When we're apathetic and lackadaisical, downplaying, minimalizing, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Are we seeking first? This man whose daughter was dying was seeking. This woman who had been dealing with a hemorrhage for 12 years, she was seeking first. The man traveled a far way, falling down at the feet of Jesus, begging. Man's lost condition. And how do we view that? Fortunately, though, it's not hopeless, because Jesus is the answer. And now comes the happy part of the lesson. But the happy part cannot truly be happy unless we realize our lost condition without Jesus Christ. And if we truly realize that, and realize the blessing now that we have to be released from the bonds of sin and to be set free from hell, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch who went on his way rejoicing. Do we go on our way rejoicing when we sin, fall short in some way, and we ask God to forgive us, and Do we go on our way rejoicing, realizing truly the seriousness of our condition? Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 5, and we'll be in Romans for just a little bit here. Verses 6 through 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. We already read verse 6, for while we were still helpless. Maybe you can imagine Jairus, who was helpless. His daughter was dying. He was helpless. The woman who had the hemorrhage, she was helpless. We think of ourselves helpless without Christ. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And we've talked about Christ dying for us already today, and we've thought about that, observing the Lord's Supper. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were helpless, but Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood. We talked about that blood. We thought about that blood already. Being justified. Becoming just. Being cleansed of our sins. Being made white as snow. Being justified now by His blood. We shall be saved from the wrath of God. Wrath of God? What are you talking about, wrath of God? I minimalize sin. I downplay sin. It's not that big a deal. Say a little prayer. It's over with. Serious. The wrath of God. Oh, God is love. God wouldn't punish anybody. Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. That Jesus will come back and with the angels in flaming fire, bringing retribution on those who do not know God. You would not do that. God is love. We were helpless and we needed to be saved. When we commit some minor infraction as a Christian, we're lost and we need to be saved. If we're not lost, we don't need to be saved. Don't pray for forgiveness and see what happens. Would not be a good thing. What else does it say? Verse 9, much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Before becoming a Christian, we had made ourselves God's enemy. You know, when we go to the Bible and we read about God's enemies, it's not a good thing. They never win, do they? They never win. It's a bad thing to be God's enemy. You know what's going to happen. You know what the deal is going to be. When we talk about our lost condition, we were enemies of God. God sent Jesus Christ into the world to die for us and to shed His blood so that we can be reconciled, no longer to be enemies, but to be a friend of God. As Abraham was, because he obeyed by faith. Turn your Bibles to chapter 6 and verses 3 through 7. Another scripture that you're very familiar with. Again, remember that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in chapter 6 and verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. How great is that? Now, if we minimalize sin, and it's not that big a deal, And we figure as Christians, we say a little prayer and it's over with, no big deal, just go on, then maybe it's not that big a deal. If we do not truly recognize our condition without Christ and how lost we truly were as God's enemies, worthy of His wrath, it's not that big a deal, is it? But when we realize the seriousness of what we're talking about, it's a big deal. For we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God has made it so easy to be in Christ Jesus, to be baptized. Turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 2. And I want us to think for just a moment to remind ourselves, again, you know all of this, as to what Jesus did for us. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8. To make all of this possible, we were helpless. We were dead in our sins. We were God's enemies. We were worthy of the wrath of God. I mean, His wrath was coming upon us. We needed someone to help us and to save us. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, Jesus loves us so much, he let go of heaven for a period of time so that he could come down here, seek and save the lost, preach the gospel, die, shed his blood to help us. Let me ask you this, who else has done anything like that to help you? Who else could do anything like that to help you? Verse 7, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. He didn't even take the form of a worldly king, but a bondservant, literally a slave, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What did Jesus do for you? He left heaven. He came to earth. He preached the gospel. And he died on the cross. Turn your Bibles back with me over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3. And there's a particular word there that's used I want to bring out and talk about for just a moment. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We read that already this morning. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. We talked about being in Christ Jesus. Chapter 6, verse 23, the gift of God in Christ Jesus. Chapter 6, verse 3, how do you get there? Baptized into Christ. Verse 25 of chapter 3 now. Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. Propitiation. What is that? That is a sacrifice of atonement. Spoken of as Jesus being our Passover, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and being as a lamb without spot or blemish, 1 Peter 1:18. God's sacrifice on our behalf so that our sins could be forgiven, removed, so that we could be reconciled, justified, become His friend, and no longer worthy of His wrath, was to sacrifice His Son. That's what that word says. God sacrificed His Son to be the atonement you need and I need so that we could be Christians and go to heaven. And the Apostle John uses this particularly in 1 John chapter 4 to say, tell us this demonstrates the love of God that He sacrificed His Son so that you could go to heaven. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. What did Jesus do? He came to earth. He was the atonement sacrifice according to the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed. Redeemed means to buy back. Buy back from what? Sin, hell. Let me ask you this. Who sold you to the devil, to hell? You did. You sold yourself to the devil. You needed to be bought back. You couldn't buy yourself back. Jesus came down here to buy you back. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. The wages of sin is death. The price of atonement is the blood of Jesus Christ. And there was only one person that could pay that price, and he came down here and paid it. To chapter 2 and verse 24, where Jerry has already read for us this morning. Chapter 2, verse 24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. How'd he do that? I don't know. I believe he did it. As we partake of the Lord's Supper and we reflect back to the cross and Jesus being on the cross, don't ever forget. Your sins were in his body because the price had to be paid for those sins. And that's death. The wages of sin is death. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, Hebrews 9:22. Somebody had to bleed to death for those sins. And that someone was Jesus. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Living in sin, we're sick. We need to be healed. And there was only one way to be healed of sin, and that was for Jesus to come down here and be beat up and crucified. That's the only way. Well, we have some choices. We have some choices. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you're faithful to the Lord, you've made one choice. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian or an unfaithful Christian, you've made another choice. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the choice that every person on the face of the earth has. Every person in this auditorium has that choice this morning. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We've already mentioned this passage, but I want us to look at it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and beginning in verse 6. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That's one choice. That's one choice. Do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and suffer the wrath of God for eternity. That's one choice. Let me give you a better choice, though. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus is a source of eternal salvation to everyone who obeys him. Here's the other choice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. There's our choices. I'm a Christian. I've already obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've already been baptized. I made that choice. But I tell you what, you make that choice every day all over again. You do. Jesus is coming. And there's going to be two groups of people. Those who suffer vengeful retribution and flaming fire at the hands of the angels that come back with him. And those who are gathered up with him in the sky and they go back to heaven with him, they stay forevermore. Two choices. And that's it. If you've made the good choice, this morning I want you to realize how good it truly is as you reflect back on your lost condition without Christ. Hopeless, helpless. And as you think about those times when you make mistakes and you need the blood of Christ to wash that sin again, think about how good that choice is. And be like David, just pour out your heart to God. Don't minimize. Don't be apathetic. If right now you're making the bad choice, I hope you'll change and make the good choice today. Jesus has made it so easy, hasn't he? Jesus went to the cross. Jesus is the one that was beaten up. Jesus is the one who spilled his blood. Jesus is the one that was scourged and wore the crown of thorns and was crucified. And all he asks you to do, if you believe in him, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess that he is the Son of God, is to be dunked underwater. The water doesn't hurt. Water isn't even hot or cold. It's room temperature. Feels sort of good. And it's so easy to do. Jesus has done the hard part. He asks you to do the easy part. If you're not a Christian today, if you're unfaithful to the Lord, won't you do the easy part? Make the good decision so you can live in heaven forever. If you're not resolved to that, won't you be resolved this morning? Come to the front as we stand and sing.